Hi, this is MLB.com Extras Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm Phil Rogers here with Anthony Kastrovitz talking about those crazy Bucks, one of the most exciting teams in 2013, back trying to do it again this year behind the ultra-positive Cliff Hurdle. Always a pleasure to be around, but this year, sort of a struggle for the Pirates. The starting pitching, nowhere near what they expected it to be. But never a dull day watching Andrew McCutchen and now Gregory Polanco, Russell Martin, the rest of those Pirates. Seems like they could have a big second half in them. What do you think, Anthony?
They could. You know, you go back to the beginning of May, and since that time frame, they've been one of the best teams in baseball record-wise, but still struggling in that rotation and dealing with some injuries. Francisco Liriano's been out a while with the oblique, and now Garrett Cole, their stud, their star, he goes on the DL twice in a month, so this time with a lat injury. So trying to piece it together there in the rotation, and I'm sure our MLB.com beat reporter Tom Singer has some insights into that. Let's bring Tom aboard. Tom, how are you?
Doing good, Anthony. What's up? Hey, Phil.
Not much. We're, you know, the Pirates were the best story in baseball last season by far. Do you think, as far as the second half goes, what's going to take to get back to that status?
Well, they're getting to be a pretty good story again. I do need to correct you. They have been struggling rotation-wise with the injuries, but performance-wise, they have not been struggling. They, you know, their rotation has one of the best ERAs in the majors for the last month because the guys who've been filling in have been doing an admirable job. Case in point, Brandon Compton, who for the second time is coming back to fill in for Cole, who did go back on the DL. He was sent back to AAA, even though he had an undefeated June. You know, it's a matter of, you know, seniority. Obviously, that spot belonged to Cole. But Compton was pitching tremendously, and, you know, he'll merge back in. And Jeff Locke, last season's forgotten All-Star, has been even better than he was at any point last season. He's had a remarkable transformation. So, yeah, they're dealing with, you know, with injuries. Cole, especially, it was a very deflating experience to see him go back on the DL for the second time, really in 2 weeks. And Liriano has been out, you know, close to a month. But, you know, you're ever optimistic. Clint Hurdle has a saying, next man up. Somebody goes down, just get the next guy up there. And, you know, we've seen that come to fruition when the starting rotation is concerned. You know, offensively, they've got... you know, even last year, they kind of pounded the ball in the middle of the season, but it was basically a, you know, home run-oriented team. You know, we've seen them reach a new level in just getting on base. You know, they've got the highest on-base percentage in the majors for the last couple of months, which is something different. They're gelling offensively. Polanco, obviously, has given them a major boost. So I would think... You know, you've got to get either one of those two, Cole or Liriano, back and pitching every fifth day productively in the second half for it to be as magical as his last season. But otherwise, everything seems to be lined up pretty well.
Hey, Tom, one thing that struck me going into this year that would be different for the Pirates than other years would just be the expectations. I mean, you know, not only did they reach the playoffs last year and won the wild card game, but, you know, they were a hit or two away from knocking the Cardinals out in the division series, great division series. The expectations, it seems like no longer are they the little team. They're the team expected to step up and go head-to-head with the Cardinals and everybody else. Has that been an issue at all?
Well, pretty much. I mean, they have high expectations of themselves. So the expectations, the change dynamic really hasn't thrown them off. The longevity of the franchise, when you compare it to somebody like the Cardinals, that's more of a challenge, you know, given the way they operate. You know, I don't see the Pirates ever becoming as dominant year to year as, you know, St. Louis has been, Cincinnati to a lesser extent. But, you know, their window for being competitive definitely is open. It may not stay open as long as some of the other teams, but they do have a pretty good mix of now established veterans and more talent on a farm system to sustain being competitive for a long stretch, never becoming really a one of the more dominant teams in the league. But as far as making sure that last season's breakthrough wasn't a one-and-done situation, they're pretty well positioned to sustain a very high level of competitiveness for many, many years to come.
Tom, when it comes to expectations for an individual, it doesn't get any higher than coming off an MVP season like McCutchen. And really, I mean, in every major statistical category, he's been even better than last season. And that's impressive when you consider, especially early in the year, the adjustments that he had to make with really a lot of teams just pitching around him, not giving anything to hit. How have you watched him mature even further this season?
Definitely. He's, he had it's a really strange situation because for such a long time, Pirates obviously had a low profile. So if you had one guy who was productive, he became the face of the team. So he got that quick recognition. But as far as improving as a major leaguer, he is far superior in every level that he was last season. My personal viewpoint, an even better point of that is, he won the Gold Glove in 2012 when he really wasn't very he was a good defensive player, don't get me wrong, but he wasn't exceptional. Comparing him on defense today to the way he was in 2012, I mean, there's no comparison. He's so much more of a weapon in center field. He lays out to make catches, which I don't recall him doing at all in 2012. But now he's got the confidence to make the catches that if he doesn't make become, triples, but he makes them every time. The offensive uptick, basically he's got the better cast around him. He tried to do at stretches. He tried to carry the team last year, and it kind of showed in the fact that the weight would kind of unplug him for longer periods. This year he recognizes that he can take that walk if he's being pitched around because he's got the guys behind him to do the damage, which is essentially what's been happening. So I mean, combined with his own personal improvement and the improvement of the team around him, McCutchen is a far superior player than he was last season when he was already the league's MVP.
And the guy to McCutchen's left out there in the last 6 weeks or so of the first half, Gregory Polanco, I mean, as much as he's added right away, given him presence at the top of the order and another great glove. I mean, like three center fielders in that outfield with Polanco and Marte. What would you forecast for Polanco in the second half? It seems like Clint Hurdle does his best to try to keep expectations dampened a little bit for Polanco, but when you see a guy having the at-bats he's had, it's couldn't he be a guy that steps up? And if McCutchen is cold, Polanco could step in and actually carry the team for a while?
I don't see that happening, to be honest. He's already going through that major adjustment that, the league is adjusting to him, and now we'll see what kind of adjustment he can make back. So far, I would say National League 1, Polanco nothing. He's being fed off-speed pitches, and he's not making contact, striking out a lot more than he did the first couple of weeks. It's so easy to get carried away with the young phenom, especially when he comes up and immediately produces the way Polanco did. But I'm not saying he will not make the adjustments, but I mean, this is, we're seeing the reason that Neil Huntington, the GM, was reluctant to give him a very quick promotion because he has sailed through his last two minor league seasons, never really had that ebb where he had to fight back from so they could see how resilient he is. And they did not want him to get the first test on the major league level, and that is what Polanco is getting now. He looks totally, what's the best way to put it, less in command than he was the first 2-3 weeks because, even without a team having seen him, the way technology is now, they get a pretty good idea of what he's all about. and teams are attacking him differently. And so far, it's been effective. So the most intriguing thing about Polanco is how he fights back.
That's a good point, Tom. You know, a lot of people were crushing the Pirates for not promoting the kid sooner, and they really did try to temper that enthusiasm as best they could and point out, you know, this guy was basically in high A ball basically a year ago. So you see those adjustments at the big league level, especially against left-handed pitching.
Having said that, they did bring him up at the right point, because they didn't bring him up when they actually needed a bat to wake them up. They brought him up when he could loop into a team that was already producing offensively. So he didn't have the pressure of being the guy that turns the switch. He could just blend in, which definitely helped in the first 3-4 weeks.
Absolutely. You know, another guy they bring aboard in the course of the season to try to improve the offense is Ike Davis. You know, we think of the July trading deadline, but the Pirates, that was one where they made a move in April to try to shore up the first base spot. Gets on base at a good clip. You think there's more power in that bat here in the second half?
Well, I think so. They definitely got less power out of Ike than they expected, but by the same token, they're really happy with what he's given them. It's a different kind of hitter than they thought they were picking up, but it's a guy that is patient at the plate, has drawn almost as many walks as he has hits. Good opposite field discipline if they pitch him outside to obviously keep the ball out of his, you know, power of his own. He's been going to the opposite field for a lot of clutch hits. So it's like a weird situation. It's not the guy they expected, but in many ways they got even more than they expected, although the power aspect is definitely down. Overall, I think, like most GMs, Huntington says there's no glaring holes on this team, but we always look around to see if there's ways to improve. And I would think first base definitely remains the one position on the field that if somebody offers them something that makes sense, doesn't cost too much, don't have to leverage too much of the future, that remains one of the spots where, you know, they, you know, could upgrade. And I say that without really having a clear sense yet of what first baseman, you know, might be available. But, I mean, that's the one position where they could replace the Sanchez-Davis platoon with an everyday guy that can give them productivity. That is something, you know, they listen to.
Early in the year, Jason Grilli, obviously not what he was a year ago, and they went quickly to Mark Melancon as the closer. He seems to have done a good job. Do you think they will just try to fill in the group in front of Melancon, or could they be looking at possibly a closer adjustment at some point in the second half?
The situation is definitely more in flux than it was with Jason Grilli last season. And I think if they think that they had that the Melancon, who's as effective as he's been closing in the eighth inning, he's just untouchable. He's like a totally different person. As the eighth inning setup guy, obviously he left that job when he became the closer. Tony Watson has taken over in the eighth inning. I would think would be the next man up. There's that expression again, if they do want to make a change in closing. And they could do that pretty comfortably because, you know, Watson has the ice in the veins to do the closing job, and that would enable Melancon to go back to the eighth inning setup role, which he has been so excellent at. So I don't see them definitely shopping for a potential replacement closer because they already have it in-house.
You know, as far as in-house improvements go, certainly with Liriano coming back very soon, if not immediately, and Gerrit Cole will continue to monitor that could be a big boost for them in the second half if he can come back healthy and get back to what we've seen from him in the past. You know, those internal improvements might help the Pirates. But, Tom, we appreciate